This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Hello, you are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another half an hour. Now we are reaching the end of our Friday Night Fan Show special. And what a way to finish. It is the boys from He and He Takes That Chance podcast. Richard Kosmala joins me on the line to talk all things Huddersfield Town. It's the Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Richard, hello.
Hello.
Great to have you on the line, buddy. Plenty to discuss over the course of the next half an hour or so. We're going to be talking deadline day, mate. We were very near at the end of it last time out. And the prediction that you made of that winger, it did indeed ring true. Jonas Lersel was named just before we came on air. But Chris Willock, he has joined on loan until the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I did say, didn't I, that I had a feeling the winger would come in and, yeah, just happened a little bit after the deadline. So, yeah, I mean, he's played a bit of a strange one, really, because he played no games for West Brom. Obviously, kind of must have lost his way a little bit at Arsenal. But, yeah, it's somebody that we definitely, well, a winger that we definitely need. And let's hope that he can, you know, kind of get on the ground running a bit like Emile Smith-Rowe seems to be doing every week now for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd like to think that the pair of those might be able to link up as well. A shame for Willock, really, because he was part of a band of younger players who were following the lead of the likes of Jadon Sancho, going abroad and trying his arm at Benfica. It didn't really work out. He's come back to England, like you said, again at West Brom. Didn't work out there. So I think you've got a player who's perhaps got a point to prove.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, when people have got points to prove, you know, hopefully not, we see it on the pitch as well. And like we've talked on the last few shows, we've had a lot of players who kind of got no point to prove in their heads to Huddersfield, and luckily we've shipped them all out. And I think we'll talk about the outgoings in a minute, but the one that took a couple of days to kind of move out, Isaac Mbenza, I think Amiens jumped the gun a little bit in France. They released a strange kind of video that would sign him, and he hadn't been cleared by the EFL, so that was good news for us as well. So, yeah, no, we're absolutely delighted with the business, incomings and outgoings for the chance window, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Mbenza, is that another one of the players that you're not delighted, that's a bit of a harsh word to use, but you've spoken many times about the deadwood, about the players that you didn't really want to see at the club. They are slowly but surely eking themselves out, Richard, and that's another one.
Yeah, I've got my colleague from the podcast, Neil, he's on the line now, sounds like he's coughing himself to death. I'll let you have your say, Neil, on Mr. Mbenza. Keep it clean.
Go on, Neil. Great to be joined, by the way. Neil Wayne joins us on the line too. Hello, Neil.
Good evening. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. So you've got some thoughts on Isaac Mbenza. Like Richard said, please keep it clean.
Yeah, good riddance. What an absolute whopper that fellow was. He was awful. He came in. He is arguably, and I don't say this lightly, the worst signing the club has ever made. When you consider £13 million and all we've got to show for that really is a goal in a meaningless end-of-season game against Man U. Other than that, he's been absolutely dreadful. Dreadful on the pitch. Dreadful attitude off the pitch. Absolutely delighted he's gone. I hope he has a brilliant end of season at Amiens and goes permanently. If we get 13 quid back, we've had a stroke of luck. Nightmare signing, just awful.
I think I'll take the term whopper. I'm happy with that, mate. That's fine. We can use that one. And a great way to describe a player, to be fair. What a whopper. Gents, let's reflect on the game last week as well. We spoke about it at length, of course, before the day against Fulham. For half an hour, it looked like it was going to be an horrendous afternoon. They raced into a 3-goal lead. But then I tell you what, Emile Smith-Rowe with a goal. Steve Mounier again. I think that's 5 in 7 for him. I think it was 11 shots on Marek Rodak's goal. Colin Grant weighing in with a fair few of them. They seem to have their own personal battle going. But Richard, it was a decent performance from the boys and arguably should have got a point.
Matt, we should have won. You know, I've watched it back in the cold light of day, not alcohol induced, and we should have won. It was the most bizarrest game ever. 30 minutes gone, we were three down. There were loads of people making their way out, probably for a drink, in all honesty, in the concourse, but rather than leave the ground. But we were all over the shop. And then it was a bit of a strange one, and Smith Rowe kind of took his chance well. A bit of a bad first touch, but he kind of got in there before the keeper, more braver than him. And obviously, then we came back, and second half, we were carving Fulham open at will, really. It was shocking, really, to see, because... Callum Grant on another day, great save down at his near post. Steve Mooney missed an absolute sitter header. I mean, I watched it back. I've seen the replay a few times. For a man, really, for what we paid for him, he's got to be burying that. And at the end, Fraser Campbell, we were at the opposite end, and it looked like, to be fair, he just fired wide, but the ball going in, the defender just threw himself at the ball, and it just deflected off him for the goal. We were walking back to the underground after, and I was just like saying to Fulham fans, God, be honest, I thought we at least deserved the point. And there were guys saying it was, you deserve to win, mate. And I watched it back and I agree. But the trouble is, you know, February's here now and games are coming thick and fast. You can't. We deserve this and that. It's all about delivering straight away, isn't it, and getting results because games are running out. But yeah, the performance, once we give them a 3-goal start, was superb.
Can you be buoyed by that, Neil?
To an extent, you can. I mean, obviously, the performance... I mean, at 3-0 down, you're fearing the worst, to be honest. But then, obviously, they've showed some fight. Should have probably at least got a point out of it second half. But it's hard to be anything but a bit dejected when you've still lost. You can't, you know, in this league, you know, it's a tough division. We all know that. Anybody can beat anybody. Fulham have probably got, arguably, one of the best two squads in that division. So to give them a 3-goal lead, you're also up against it. And no matter how well you play after that, you know, you're coming away with nothing. And, you know, the games are slipping away now and we are still in a precarious position. And I'll be honest, I don't think we'll go down. I don't. I think the Cowboys got enough about them. I think now they've got the players in that they want. You know, the signing of Lursell is an absolute belter, to be honest. We're really, really happy with that. The players that he's brought in over this transfer window... He's gone sort of where a lot of the fans think we should have gone for the second season in the Premier League. Bought experience, so obviously Richard Stearman, Andy King, not really got much game time as yet, but I'm sure that'll come. But they're the kind of players with most of us think we should have been looking at, you know, to sort of stay in the Premier League for longer than the two seasons that we did. But yeah, but slightly buoyed, but obviously disappointed as well.
Yeah, we'll quickly come back to the Fulham game in a moment or two, but glad to say we've got a caller. Chris is on the line. How are you doing, Chris?
Yes, hello.
Great to have you on the show, boss. What would you like to talk about, the upcoming games?
Yes, I would, yes. The next two home games in the coming days, tomorrow and Wednesday night of next week.
So your thoughts on those two, tell us what you want to say.
I just want to just point out on those two games, they're very important in terms of getting... You know, 6 points from. I just want to see us get a bit of consistency together because that's what we're missing. And you see, we're so close to bottom three now, having seen Wigan win last week and us lose at Fulham, just 3 points above the bottom three. So we need to ideally win these next two and just get put a bit of consistency together. We're just missing it.
You agree with that, Richard?
Yeah, definitely. I think the next 3 weeks for us, we've got these 6 games to come, 4 of them at home, and I think massive. I think looking out of the all 6, and it's a danger again, isn't it, to, like you say, Championship, to kind of make a judgment. But we've seen tonight again, Bristol City took lead after 40 seconds and they're being beaten by a Birmingham side, totally out of sorts, and Bristol are in there. So, but you look to tomorrow, QPR at home, I think this is the, I don't want to say easiest, well, I'm going to have to, but it's the most winnable game out of the 6 we've got. And but you know how things don't work that way. I think his own form is massive. It's the worst in the division, Matt, at the moment. And for me, that's got to improve. And I think the last two away games we've seen, we've played a lot better football. We've took the game to the opposition. We've been positive. And I think a lot of that's down to Neil Smith-Rowe. But when the pressure's on, you know, tomorrow a lot of fans are going to, well, most of us will be turning up thinking, you know, this is a game to win. And I just think, you saw the pressure's going to be on us at home. And then, you know, Wednesday night we've got Cardiff and then a couple with Bristol at home. But yeah, the home format, I think it's going to be where we live or die by it, and that as well. And it's been a bit hit and miss, to be honest with you. But tomorrow I'm expecting all 3 points, to be honest with you. Whether we'll get them or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the 4 wins is concerning, isn't it? That's the joint lowest in the division. I think Barnsley are the other team with just 4 wins at home this season. Chris, just to bring you back in here, does that concern you, the home form?
Well, your home form is where you've got to really pick up the most points from at home. You've got to make your home stadium a fortress, and any points you pick up away, because you know away games can be a lot harder away from home, picking them up away is just a bonus. You've just got to pick up as many as you at home and get the bonus away.
Absolutely. Chris, thank you very much for joining us, boss. Great to have you on the line. Richard, the 2 games coming up, like we said, it is away from, at home, of course, QPR and then Cardiff. Both of those teams a bit indifferent, really, with their form at the moment. Cardiff in particular as well. I think, you know, they've only lost 2 of their last 14 or so, but 7 of those have been draws. So their form isn't particularly brilliant coming into this one.
No, I think it's all about us, to be honest, Matt. I think that's 2 against how we, you know, approach the game as well, because I think the frustrating thing for us field this season, especially under the Cow, is we've started the games bad. Obviously, last Saturday, you know, a great example of that, and it takes us to kind of having a no, what's the word, no, well, there's nowhere to go. When you're 3-0 down, you've got to go one way, haven't you, and attack. And I just want to see that from the start tomorrow, to be honest with you. And we talked about Emil Smith-Rowe. I'm sure the other teams will be doing their homework on him, but he was absolutely outstanding on Saturday. He was dangerous every time we got the ball, and, you know, he was pushing us forward. I think we mentioned, you know, before, Janina Bakuna, another guy. You know, I mean, he's been a makeshift right back up with Danny Simpson's fit tomorrow, but he what an erratic game he had last week. He, you know, the couple of goals he cost us as a fullback, but, you know, he created one of the goals, and every time he goes forward, he looks like he's going to do some damage. And I think the Cowboys just got to find a way to try and fit him into the, you know, to the team, really. But it's, yeah, we've got more weapons, to be honest with you, than we had, you know, before the transfer window. I'm quite optimistic in the next 2 home games that we can get at least 4 points.
He's an unpredictable beast, isn't he, Neil Janina Bakuna? He's one of those players, and you, I don't want to coin a cliche, but he's exactly the type of player that a commentator, when watching him commentating on a game, will go, I don't know what he's going to do, because he doesn't know what he's going to do.
Absolutely, yeah. He's, he goes from, and no disrespect to Aldershot, but he goes from being Aldershot to Barcelona in 3 touches. he's just literally one extreme to other, and you don't know what you're going to get. But as a football fan, I quite like that, to be honest. I quite like this sort of unexpected. And he's got that bit of nastiness in him as well, which, again, I like. And if you take all those things away from him, you haven't got that player. And people, I think people forget, he's only young. And there were a lot of pressure on him at the start of this season. Because of the way we ended last season, there were only really Bakuna and Carlin Grant that we had any hope that were going to be anything for us this season. And that was really, really built up pre-season by a lot of fans. It was all about getting Bakuna and Grant in and letting them run the show. And to be fair, Grant's company has done it. And in fits and starts, Bakuna's done it as well. And like Richard said, he's been all over the place. He's played midfield, he's played right back, he's played right wing. He's a bit of an all sorts. And I think he's one of those who probably needs to pin down a position and then he can sort of settle into his game and grow up. In football terms,
I think it also alludes to the fact that the Cowleys as well now are starting to really understand what their team is as well. When you look at the stats, I think it's 34 players that they've used so far, or that Huddersfield, I should say, because of course Jan Sievert was there for the start of the campaign. 34 players used in the Championships this season. That's 4 more than any other side. He's done his business in January. He looks like he's got the players that he wants. Do you think, Richard, that we'll now start seeing more of a consistent starting 11 under Danny Cowley?
You'd think so, Matt, but obviously there's 6 games coming up in next to no time, really. It's 3 weeks, and I think you've got to kind of manage the squad. I mean, it's interesting when you mention them stats. Normally, that's when you kind of mention that in June, don't you, really, getting teams, because you mentioned, you know, they use 40 players or what have you and stuff, but it's normally when you kind of writing a bit of an obituary for a team and that as well. But yeah, I think, I mean, obviously we mentioned Andy King, who's not had much of a, you know, like Neil said, much game time. But there's a lot of games coming up and keeping guys fresh and, you know, targeting kind of certain games and what have you. So they will be, you know, he will, you know, try and kind of bed down a team, I would have think. But it's a bit of a conundrum for us because we seem to have quite a lot of midfield. I mean, Jonathan Hogg, not featured in last two, maybe even three games, to be honest with you. He's, you know, one of the first names you put on a team sheet, but where are you going to kind of put him in? And Bakuna had so much offensively for us, not defensively, but Dan Simpson's fit, he comes obviously straight back in at right back. So he has a few puzzles to solve, to be honest with you. But yeah, I were kind of a bit, I mean, I don't think his defence is that bad to say, you know, we're struggling so bad in the league, but I were a bit more concerned with kind of firepower going forward. I think we've got that now, but it's just a matter of getting the jigsaw right.
Yep, absolutely. That was Richard Kosmala there from He Takes That Chance podcast. Neil Wayne joining us too on this, the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. We've got about 12, 13, 14 minutes to go. We're going to be looking more at those games against QPR and Cardiff coming up.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Richard Kosmala and Neil Wayne from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. We're looking ahead to the game with QPR tomorrow and then Cardiff on Wednesday. Firstly, guys, I've got to say to you, 27 league meetings between Huddersfield and QPR over history. Never once has there been a goalless draw. So, Richard, we can at least expect goals.
You'd like to think so. I remember a young Peter Crouch, I think he was on loan, well, he was on loan from that time playing for QPR back in the day. And, yeah, there's been some interesting games. And the Danny Shittle as well, he used to play QPR. We're an absolute giant, and I think we had Leon Knight in them days. You remember how small he was?
Oh, yeah.
God, he was like a little large in that as well. It was strange, but yeah, it's one where, I mean, it's not, it was obviously not going to be a pick of the TV, two probably out of form, inconsistent sides really as well. Obviously tonight we've seen Naki Wells come on for his debut for Bristol City, which kind of helps us tomorrow, doesn't it? Kind of out of the fine line because he was doing really well with them. But yeah, I like I said before, I might kind of expect him to win, but it depends a lot, I think. It depends just on our attitude, to be honest, Matt. I think, you know, I just hope we're positive and we're not. What I liked what we were doing in our Saturday, we were, every ball was a forward ball instead of a sideways ball or a ball back, especially when you're playing in front of your own crowd. I think weather's going to be a bad, you know, the storms or what have you coming, so people are going to be dragging themselves there tomorrow. They want to see some entertaining front foot football. I just hope we can carry on for the last two games, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of the goals, I mentioned Steve Mounier earlier. I think 5 and 7 for him. Neil, Carlon Grant, a lot of people, when they speak about Huddersfield, they instantly go, and you get this with pundits and those watching the game from afar. Carlon Grant, yeah, great striker, 13 goals this season. He's the key man. It's actually just 2 in 12 for him. Now, you guys see him far more than I do, but what I've watched of him in recent games is that he still looks like he's a player. He still looks like he's getting in and around. He still looks like he's working hard. And we only have to look at last week, of course, in that game against Fulham, came so close to scoring on a couple of occasions. When a striker is not scoring and not performing, it's a worry. But with regards to Carlon Grant, it looks like he's still performing.
I'll be honest, there's been a couple of games where he went missing a little bit. There has been talk of we turned down a £15 million bid in January. Whether that turned his head a little bit or not, we'll never know. But looking at his goal-scoring record, he's not even an out-and-out striker. He plays in the 4-2-3-1, he plays on the left side of the three mostly, with either Campbell or Mounier as the sort of main striker. So to get the goals he has, if you watch him, if people watch back his clips, most of them are coming off the left wing, cutting in onto his right foot, and he's lethal. And I think the obviously getting a goal at Hull last midweek broke that sort of barren spell for him, and hopefully he'll go on a bit of a run now. But there's no doubt that the lad is quality, and he is more than good enough to play in the division above.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's definitely got a chance. When he was first signed, I thought, oh, is that a classic case of a player from a lower league who's not going to do the business, but performed pretty admirably in what was a struggling team last season.
He did. When we were in Premier League, he played either 12, 13 games and scored 4 goals. And on the outside, that probably doesn't sound great, but when you consider we probably only scored 6 goals all season, you know, for him to come in and sort of get that record, sort of 1-3 in the Premier League against some good sides, that showed the quality that the lad's got. You know, I think I'd be very surprised, I don't want to sound defeatist, but I'd be very, very surprised if he starts next season with us.
Really? You actually think he'll move on in the summer?
The lad's good enough. If there's been interest shown and bids coming in January, obviously, if he carries on, you know, like I say, he's back on the goal scoring chart, he's got 13 now. If he finishes this season with 20 in a team that's going to finish comfortably bottom half, if we're being brutal, you know, to get that kind of ratio in a team that's going to be a bottom half team, he's proven it this season in a full season. He's proven it in sort of a third of a season in the Premier League. Lad's going to get his chance, and I think if the right money comes in, you can't stand in a player's way. And to be fair to Town, it's very, very rare that we do let people go as long as we get the right money for them.
Going back to the season as a whole, gents, and where Huddersfield are in the Championship as things stand, 3 points clear of that relegation zone. Like we say, plenty of games coming up in February, thick and fast. 6 games before the month is out. QPR, we mentioned it earlier on, not in the best run of form at the moment. They've lost their last 4 on the road. They've conceded 11 in that time as well. They're actually pretty poor from set pieces. I think they are the worst team in the league in terms of conceding from set pieces. So stick a few balls in the box, get steaming on the end of them. Richard, you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, our set piece, certainly when the Cowleys come on, because we've been apart from set pieces for quite some time, even going back to last season. So that improved massively, and we do look a threat now, you know, from set pieces. But like I said before, for me, want us to be a bit more, you know, kind of positive and you know, moving forward. It'll be fascinating tomorrow to see the team news, you know, who'll come in, who's fit. I mean, we were all up and down and Simpson be back last week. He wasn't, because that, but then again, that puts another dilemma, because if he does come back, Bakuna, he's been, you know, defensively not so great, but forward, he's big for us. So, like I said, it's just good to, isn't it, I think, to have finally, especially with the recruitment, some options, because some of our benches in the first half of the season have been really weak. And I'm very hopeful tomorrow. But I've said before, Matt, we've had these ones before, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Where I'm optimistic. But yeah, I mean, when we were on last week, weren't we, Ian Dunne? And we were thinking we could get something out of the game at Fulham, because that's how you think now. You've watched so many games. Who'd have thought we're going to do something at Leeds with Seatonite, Birmingham, done the business at Bristol? So yeah, these next 2 games seem winnable, but I'm not going to fall into that trap, really. It's it doesn't feel like a relegation season, but when you see Wigan pull a result like that, you just wonder, you know, the talking's got to stop and the action, certainly in February, it's got to happen. Next 2 games, I want 4 points, to be honest. Well, obviously 6, but 4 will do for me.
Yeah, the league is completely crackers, Richard, as like you said, we've discussed many times. Of course, you only look at Birmingham past week or so ago, and when he gets Nottingham Forest, who were flying high and got a great win over Brentford, and then go and lose to Birmingham. Birmingham then win, of course, in the FA Cup against Coventry, and then they go and smash Bristol City, who had 4 wins on the bounce on their own patch. So you just don't know what is going to happen. Neil, in terms of a realistic target for safety this season, we've got 16 games left of the Championship campaign for Huddersfield. Where realistically do you think they need to get to in order to survive?
As the Cowleys have said it, 50 points you don't go down in this league, or very, very rarely. And I think because the league is so tight as a whole, I think 50 will keep you up, and I honestly think we'll get them. I do. I think what they've done really well over January is they've got rid of 4 or 5 players who were banished, weren't featuring at all, and we've brought in 6 players to compete. So we've undoubtedly strengthened the squad massively from where we were just a fortnight ago. And yeah, it gives the Cowleys problems, but it's a lot better to have those problems than rocking up against Leeds at home and having 7 academy kids on bench. It's very positive going forward, I think.
Okay, and I know there are 2 games coming up, so we've got to predict 2. Not always the easiest, Neil, but your predictions for the next 2 games.
Scorelines are hard to say, but if we get 4 points, I'll be really happy. If we get six, delighted. And we're capable of getting six, but town being town, we're capable of getting beat twice as well. So,
so there we go. As conclusive as ever. Lovely stuff. Neil, mate, thank you very much for joining us. Neil,
My pleasure.
You for coming on. Richard, always a pleasure speaking to you. Too. This has been the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. Big games coming up for the Terriers. First QPR and then Cardiff. I'll be back tomorrow evening. We've got the final whistle running from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and then you can join me for the Premier League Fan Show, the Championship Fan Show, the League One Fan Show and the League Two Fan Show. I'll also be on with Barkley and Barton for a post-war history of Manchester United, and then the Goalkeepers Union podcast will be kicking off with myself and Richard Lee from 11 p.m. David Lucas will join us this week, Fleetwood Town goalkeeper coach. We will see you same time next week, Friday, 10:30, Huddersfield Town Fan Show. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.